If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. Therefore, God sent us a Savior.
Unto us this day a child is born, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Hi, I'm Dave Dino, and I hope that this Christmas weekend has been a real blessing to you and to your family. Today on The Tide, Pastor Dwayne Pottinger paints a beautiful picture of the unmistakable, unforgettable entrance of God into human history. Now, pour yourself a cup of two-day-old eggnog and open your Bible to Luke chapter 2, because today's message is, well, it's straight ahead. Now, here's Dwayne with a few opening comments. Dwayne, first of all, I want to know, many of our listeners, I'm sure, have heard the answer to this question, but I think you'll agree it is worth hearing again. Why do you suppose the angel of the Lord appeared first to the shepherds?
Well, Dave, let me start by saying I'm not sure that we all know the answer or have heard the answer to that question. That's a very challenging question. I can only speculate. Perhaps the angels appeared to the shepherds because the great shepherd had come. Maybe it was to show that Christ came not only for those in positions of power and authority, but for all, even people like lowly shepherds. Maybe it was because the shepherds were simple enough to believe. And so, although we don't know why he appeared to the shepherds, one thing we do know, he did appear to the shepherds.
And in your experience, what's the most common reason for people failing to give their lives to Jesus Christ?
There's several reasons, and I would say unbelief. We're not sure that he really came. There's sin and self-centeredness in our lives. You see, we live in a very physical and material world. We don't see Jesus. We don't see the reality of what's happening in the spiritual world. And our tendency is to get caught up in the flesh, and we begin to make decisions based on what we see with our physical eyes, not with what we could potentially see through our spiritual eyes. That makes it very difficult to actually believe in Jesus Christ.
World Series champions, Grammy Award winners, famous people, they come and go in the minds of the public. Jesus Christ came and stayed. Here's Pastor Dwayne with his message, There is a Savior.
I'm holding in my hand a little tract, and I was looking through it and reading it, and I came across some interesting statistics. There are at least 456 Old Testament prophetic references that pertain to the future person that were all fulfilled in the life of Jesus. Now, it goes on to say on this page that the chance of 8 prophecies being fulfilled in one person is the same as 1 chance out of 10 to the power of 17. That means a 1 with 17 zeros behind it. The chance of one person fulfilling 8 prophecies would be a chance in 1 with 17 zeros behind it. Now, let's get another picture of what that looks like. Let's say you took the state of Texas and you covered it in coins, quarters or dollars, whatever you wanted to cover. You covered it 2 feet deep with coins. That's a whole bunch of coins, isn't it? The whole state of Texas with coins, 2 feet deep. You marked 1 coin, and you threw it into the mix before they spread them out across Texas. Then you blindfold a man and have him somewhere land in the state of Texas and randomly pick a coin, and he picks the coin that's marked. That is the chances that a person would have if he would fulfill 8 of the prophecies. That's according to science in this tract. Did you remember how many prophecies were in the Old Testament? 456. Do you have any idea how many of those prophecies the man called Jesus Christ fulfilled? Every single one of them. I'm sorry, does not compute. My mind cannot handle that. He did it. Now, just the simple science behind that would cause me to believe something's up. There is a Savior. Let me ask you a question. What is the most unique birthday announcement you've ever received? I don't know if somebody came out of a cake. I don't know if it was a card. I don't know if it was something announced on a radio. But I would guess whatever it is, it did not compare to the birthday announcement when Jesus came. Because suddenly angels showed up in the night sky. There was a star the Magi were following. There was an inn that didn't have any room, but they somehow provided a stable. I mean, all this was provisions for the Savior. And there is a Savior. You getting the idea? That might be a title for today. I invite you to pull your outline out. Get your Bibles. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to read that story about the Savior who came. It is an amazing story. What a marvelous God. What a magnificent Savior. Luke chapter 2, we'll begin our reading at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen. Praise God. There are several things I want to lift out for your consideration today. First of all, the angelic announcement to the shepherds. What an announcement. You may say, well, what was that announcement? The very first thing that was spoken to them was, "Do not be afraid." Would you have been afraid? I would have been afraid. The first thing you need to hear from God is, "Don't be afraid of me. Don't be afraid of God." Why? Because he loves you. You don't need to fear him. One who has gone to such an extent to reach out to you to send his son. Don't be afraid of God. The enemy is the one who wants you to be afraid of him. Don't be afraid of God. The second thing that we're told is, good news of great joy. How about you? I'm always ready for some good news. He was bringing good news to them. Third part of this announcement. A Savior has been born. A Savior. The hope and the heart of the Old Testament was about one who would come. It was he who had come. My challenge to you during this week of Christmas celebration, reflect on the angelic announcement of his coming this Christmas. He has come. It is a historical fact, a reality. But if we don't stop to reflect on it, this week of celebration will pass and we'll not realize the importance of the announcement. A second thing I want you to notice, the sign to the shepherds. It's in verses 12 through 14. There will be a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. There was an angelic choir singing. Note what they sang. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Break that down a little bit. They were singing glory to God in the highest. Well, why would they sing that? For his matchless love, for his marvelous plan of redemption. Glory, oh glory to God. Oh God, you are so awesome. What could we do but sing glory to God? The second part of their song, peace to men. God wants us to experience his peace. If you don't have that peace today, you can have it through Jesus Christ. Peace on who? On whom his favor rests. And so as we celebrate this Christmas, I want to remind you to remember the signs of his coming. To sing glory to God. To receive his peace. To remember his favor is for you. It rests on men. Third thing I bring to your attention today is the visit of the shepherds. You see, God wanted the shepherds not only to hear, but to see and know that the Savior had come. You see, by visiting and seeing firsthand, they would be convinced by their experience of the reality of what they had heard. It was a children's Christmas play. They came to a time when Joseph and Mary were trying to find a place, a room to stay in. And as the play was being acted out at the particular point, the boy playing Joseph kind of got carried away in his position. And he was pleading with the innkeeper, "Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please let us in. My wife is pregnant. She's about to give birth to a child. Could you please give us a room?" And the innkeeper was being persuaded. And he said, "Ah, shoot, I'm not supposed to do this, but come on in anyway." You know, sometimes in the experience itself, we're convinced. And God wanted us to be convinced, and he sent the shepherds, not only the angels, but the experience, so they would be convinced of the reality of what they had heard. God wants you not only to know with your ears and your head, he wants you to be convinced with an experience that God, in fact, sent his Son as your Savior. As you celebrate this Christmas, I want to remind you, I want to invite you to visit the Savior this Christmas. Experience him for yourself. Know that he is a reality. A fourth thing I want to bring for your consideration today is the testimony of the shepherds. Notice verses 17 through 19 with me, if you can find that quickly. It says, "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them or said to them." You see, I want you to notice the testimony of the shepherds. The shepherds were so convinced by what they had heard and saw that they began to spread this good news to everyone that they met, everyone where they went. What did they tell? They gave their testimony simply of what they had seen and heard. That's what we're to do. Give a testimony of what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've experienced. As we think about this Christmas season, I want us to reflect on the importance of telling the good news, because we only get a dash of time to spread that good news. Everywhere the shepherds went and everyone they met, they continued to tell the news. There was something convincing, powerful, overwhelming. Have you experienced that kind of experience with the Savior? One more thing for your consideration today. Notice the worship by the shepherds. It's in verse 20. In verse 20 it says, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. They were caught up in the marvelous, magnificent greatness and grace. It was a true celebration. Praise God! A mother was out Christmas shopping. She had her two little children with her. After hours of looking through crowded aisle after aisle, toys and clothes and all the plethora of things on the market, She began pulling her two children towards the elevator to head home. She was feeling what so many feel during the holiday season, overwhelmed with pressure, overcrowded schedule of activities, putting up Christmas decorations, the need to buy and wrap gifts, parties and get-togethers, sending cards and Christmas greetings, baking, having family and friends to the house or going to their home, on and on. Finally, the elevator doors opened and it was already full, but people kind of made some room and they squeezed in just enough so the doors could close and they began to move. And as the elevator was moving, the mother just kind of lost it. She couldn't take it anymore. And she said, "Whoever started this whole Christmas thing should be found, arrested, and shot." Somewhere inside the elevator from in the back, there was a whisper from a voice that said, "Don't worry, we already crucified him." The rest of the way down that ride, there wasn't even a whisper in the elevator. You could have heard a pin drop. Friends, if we're not careful during this Christmas season, we'll find ourselves caught up in the frenzy and the stress of a secular celebration and remember the real reason for the season. No, we'll forget the real reason. I'm calling you, I'm inviting you to do what the shepherds did. They returned to their homes, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard was just as they had been told. You remember the little tract? How many prophecies? 456. How many of them came true? All of them, 456. Worship God and glorify Him this Christmas. You see, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. Therefore, God sent us a Savior. There is a Savior. And this holiday season, we celebrate His coming. And the most important thing this Christmas is the acknowledgement of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He came as a baby so He could die as a man to live as our Savior. Do you know Him personally? Are you walking and living with Him on a daily basis? Is He the center of your life? The coming of Christ at Christmas, born in the stable, laid in a manger, may seem strange and distant. But when we invite Christ into our heart and life, the strangeness disappears and the meaning unfolds as the life He came to bring begins to flow in us and through us. Under most Christmas trees, December 25, there will be many Christmas presents and gifts. But on Calvary's tree, there was only one gift. But that one gift was enough for the whole world. The whole world. It was a gift of forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ. Friends, the most important thing at Christmas is not the getting or giving of gifts. It is the giving of ourselves and the getting of a Savior, personally. The first time He came, a star marked His arrival. The next time He comes, He Himself will be the light. The first time He came, wise men brought gifts. The next time He comes, He will bring gifts to reward His own. The first time He came, there was no room for Him in the inn. The next time He comes, the whole world will not be able to contain Him or His glory. The first time He came, only a few attended His arrival, some shepherds and a few wise men. But the next time He comes, every eye shall see Him. The first time He came, He was a baby. The next time He comes, and He's coming soon, He is coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is a Savior. Joy.
Duane, what it all really boils down to is that there is a Savior, and possibly this might possibly be the most important lesson that you've taught here on our program all year. That's what it all revolves around, is letting the world know that there is a Savior and that each and every person can come to Him.
You know, the exciting thing is, Don, we celebrate Him again and again every year because of the reality of the fact there is a Savior. I think about the wealthiest people in the world. We don't know who they are, and if we did, they come and go. We don't know who the last 10 Heisman Trophy winners are, or the names of the last winners of Miss America contest, or the name of 8 people who have won the Nobel or Pulitzer Prize. But Jesus' name lives on, and we celebrate that with a great sense of joy and excitement about who He is, why He came, and the hope we have through Him.
And it's been the goal and the purpose of this radio ministry since it was started in 1946 to share that message with the world. And all of the ministry has taken place over the last years, from the time that Charlie Byers first went on air declaring the Christian message. He had supporters and relied totally on the friends and listeners who had that same vision and shared that passion. And today, before we close, this is our last broadcast of the year, I want to express words of appreciation to all who join us in this ministry through your prayer support, through your financial gifts, because we have no other source of support. And we do this, we gladly welcome you and appreciate your partnership with us and invite you to continue with us through the coming year.
Don, I would like to add my thanks and appreciation to many who have expressed their appreciation for the messages. I don't know who's listening, obviously, and it always surprises me when I bump into somebody and they learn who I am. They say, "I've heard your voice on the radio," and then they express their appreciation for the messages that they hear. I want to thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your prayer support, and may all the praise and glory be given to God.
Fifty-eight years, 11 languages, one mission, to touch the hearts on shores worldwide with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the Tide Ministry in a nutshell. And friends like you make it possible. Now, to help us keep on the air through the coming year in India and all around the world, call with your donation today, won't you, before the year end? Call today. Call our toll-free number at 1-877-859-5484. That's 1-877-859-5484. In appreciation of your gift, we'll send you a copy of Carols We Love. It's a great little booklet that includes the words of some of our favorite Christmas carols and the stories behind them. It's fascinating. That's Carols We Love. It's our gift to you this holiday season. Now, as always, today's program, this one titled There Is a Savior, is available for a gift of any size. To receive your copy, call and ask for program number 0452. You can call us toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. Or send your request to the Tide at P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. For information about the Tide or to hear an encore presentation of today's lesson, be sure to visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your prayer life? If you long to improve this aspect of your faith, then be sure to join us next week for Duane's message, The Fundamentals of Prayer. And this is going to be a very exciting program. Until then, I'm Dave Dino. Thank you for listening to The Tide, a ministry that's touching hearts on shores worldwide.